Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up, we are in search of solutions today. It's not enough just to complain about what's happening in the state of Washington. Can we fix it? Can we come up with better ideas than those who are in power? And one of the issues I want to talk about today and pick your brain on is what to do about the harassment and intimidation of signature gatherers in our state. We discussed it on the show yesterday, so let's take the next natural step and figure out how can we fix it? What suggestions can we make? Also coming up today, apparently Seattle's not the only place locking up its ice cream, which should be an extreme wake-up call for progressive voters in particular on the issue of public safety and how what's happening in West Coast cities is absolutely eroding what's normal in terms of what we consider a good quality of life. Later on, an unbelievable district attorney in California takes absolutely no accountability for the crime crisis down there. Pramila Jayapal, we mentioned on the show yesterday that she's under fire being called anti-Semitic for comments she made about Israel. Well, she is using the only card she has to avoid accountability. And later on, moms are the best. A Fox News host has a hilarious mother who called into a show. I've got to play the clip for you. First, if you have not become an Undivided subscriber already, please do so. It's how we do this show every day. Well, 5 days a week, not every day. And on Sundays, you get access to our exclusive Sunday shows, Sundays with subscribers, if you sign up for just $5 a month, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. We've got Daryl with us today. We'll bring you in a little bit for your last day before Nicole gets back. What a joy it's been. People were so nice to you, Daryl, on the live stream yesterday. You don't have to be nice to him, people. He can take it, okay? All right, on the show yesterday, we led by talking about these acts of what I consider illegal intimidation and harassment of individuals collecting signatures and voters who want to go sign referendums like the one we've been pushing, Referendum 101. You know, I got protested at a signature gathering event I held in Lacey. And then there was an event over the weekend in Lakewood that was even worse. I mean, I would consider the protesters who were at my event fairly tame. I mean, they were really close to the entrance of the coffee shop that we were in. And my concern was, okay, did people not come inside by virtue of those protesters being outside? But the event that happened in Lakewood over the weekend, I mean, to me, that was even worse because you had these people who were feet from the signature gathering table. They're holding up signs, you know, Nazi this, fascist that. One of the signs said, F these guys. And so I think, and what I said on the show yesterday, any reasonable voter, any reasonable person would be intimidated by that. The issue is that the RCW, the state law in Washington that sort of regulates this stuff, it isn't specific enough, I don't think. It isn't specific enough when it comes to, and I'll just read it again for you. I know I played it on the show yesterday. It says that every person is guilty of a gross misdemeanor who interferes with or attempts to interfere with the right of any voter to sign or not to sign an initiative or referendum petition, or with the right to vote for or against an initiative or referendum measure by threats, intimidation, or any other corrupt means of practice. The issue I have with the RCW is who gets to decide what intimidation is? I mean, to me, intimidation is in the eye of the beholder. If I am intimidated by someone on a bullhorn screaming into it, will I go up to sign a referendum? Is that against the law? Is what that person is doing against the law? If I'm intimidated by signs saying Nazis and fascists support a referendum like this, is that intimidation for me? And so I told you guys yesterday that I'm reaching out to the Secretary of State. I was going to send a letter yesterday. I was fine-tuning it today because I wanted it to be productive. I want it to be productive. I don't just want to send a letter just complaining at some podcast lady about, oh, you know, our referendum, people are being mean to us. I want to offer solutions. And that's really where you guys come in is, and I think what I'm struggling with, how do we protect people's First Amendment rights to oppose an initiative or referendum? While also making sure that those First Amendment rights do not cross a line where it hurts someone's ability to be part of the democratic process. And so I would love to hear your thoughts and your ideas. We'll read some of your comments coming up later in the show about tweaks to RCW that could be recommended that would help guard against some of the things that have happened. For instance, one that just came to mind for me is, should there be a distance? Should there be a set distance that protesters have to stay away from a signature gathering table, for instance? Is it 50 feet? Does that give enough space for people to exercise their First Amendment rights while also not dissuading people from coming inside or walking up to a table to sign? Because again, harassment and intimidation to me is in the eye of the beholder. I think that the law is too vague in that regard, but it shouldn't also have to be, oh, unless you assault someone who's walking up to sign a signature, then there's no crime committed here. So I really feel like we have to hone in on how do we protect First Amendment rights, which you know are very important to me. It's how I do my job. I don't want the government passing laws that restrict people's First Amendment rights to free speech and to protest, but at the same time, we also have a right to be part of the democratic process, to make our voices heard. And I'll also say this, the initiative and the referendum process are critically important in any state, but particularly in a one-party state like Washington. Democrats have control of the House, the Senate, the governor's office. In fact, every statewide office, Democrats control. So if you're someone who tends to dissent from the views of the majority party, if you're someone who tends to feel negatively about the laws that are pushed through by the majority party, initiatives and referendums are your only recourse. Initiatives and referendums are what keep the power of rulemaking where it belongs, in the hands of the people. We are the final check and balance on those in power. So it's incredibly important. So I really feel like this is something that we should be unified on, that we want to make sure that people can exercise their right to vote and be part of the democratic process, that it shouldn't be political, and that also voters aren't being intimidated. And I'll just note, you know, this, I didn't think of it in time for yesterday, but I recall there being an issue with a Republican. I went back and searched it. So do you guys remember in 2022, a Republican activist was posting signs that said, this ballot drop box is under surveillance at ballot drop locations. And it said, accepting compensation for harvesting or depositing ballots may be in violation of federal law. Please report suspicious activity here. And I spoke out about that at the time, because when I saw that story and those signs, I thought, that's intimidating. If you're going in to turn in your ballot and you're like, oh, wow, this is under surveillance, please report suspicious activity. And at the time, the King County executive spoke out about those signs. Again, signs that were placed by a Republican. The governor spoke out about those signs. King County Elections spoke out about those signs. And Secretary of State Steve Hobbs spoke out about those signs, as he should. My issue now, in hindsight, is you have all these powerful people speaking out against these signs, you know, having the signs removed. Where are those powerful people and those elections officials in speaking out against obvious attempts to intimidate and harass people who are just trying to do something that's protected under the law? Gather signatures, sign a referendum. This is not something that should be political. So again, my call to action to all of you today, because I know you guys just come up with the best ideas, is to comment. You can feel free to email us, go to undividedpod.com. There's a little contact form with ways you think state law could be improved to protect the signature gathering process while also protecting First Amendment rights. I would love to hear from you. Let's not just complain about this. Let's find a bipartisan, nonpartisan, frankly, way to make this better for everyone, because party politics should not come into it, although the Democratic Party is pushing a lot of this, which is an issue in and of itself. Okay, all right, moving on to, I have a couple stories on California today, but in reality, to me, these are local stories, because what we see happening in San Francisco, in Portland, and Seattle, it all just mirrors each other. And if something is happening in San Francisco that hasn't happened here yet, it will. If something's happening in Seattle that hasn't happened in San Francisco yet, it will. I mean, we should just combine all the states and have just a West Coast cluster of insanity. So do you remember, we talked about the story on the podcast, the QFC on Broadway up on Capitol Hill, you remember they were locking up the ice cream? Which I joked about at the time, and apparently, like, drug addicts love ice cream. And Daryl, you were saying this, we were talking about this earlier. Apparently, like, they like the coldness, does that, and the sugar. does something for them.
When you have an opioid addiction,
yeah,
you particularly crave a lot of sweets.
Sugar.
Yeah, a lot of sugar, a lot of sweets.
So do I have an opioid addiction? Because my sugar cravings are through the roof.
Sugar is a drug. It is addictive.
Yeah. But, I had laughed about this at the time because I was like, well, that would actually be good for my diet because then if I go in to get a pint of ice cream, like who hasn't been there, right? I want to go in and get it and use the self-checkout and just be as nondescript as possible so I'm not judged. If I had to, as was the case with this QFC, ring a bell that would then that everybody in the store would hear that someone needs help at the ice cream refrigerator and then somebody has to come and unlock it just so I can eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's, I'm like, that's going to shame me out of it. But in truth, it is not a laughing matter. And the state of some of these stores is egregious, it is embarrassing, and the way it's been normalized, like we're getting used to walking into a QFC or a Bartell or a CVS and having more and more things be locked up behind glass. So there's this video that's going around today of a Walgreens in San Francisco. And yes, it shows the ice cream, not just locked up, it's got like chains in front of the ice cream freezers. All the frozen goods, which I'm thinking, how are they going to cook that frozen pizza if a homeless person steals the frozen pizza? But the whole store essentially is behind lock and key. I mean, everything from shampoo and makeup and moisturizer, condoms, razors, which is a pretty normal thing to be behind lock and key, any sort of over-the-counter medication, Lysol, cans of Lysol cleaning spray, detergent. Nearly this entire Walgreens in San Francisco. Imagine as a law-abiding citizen who's going to pay for things, that shopping experience. Imagine you go to Walgreens for five things. I don't know, I need some Zyrtec, I need some dish detergent, I need a little bronzer, I need some ice cream and a frozen pizza. Every time you need to get one of those things, a store associate has to come unlock it for you. That's not tenable. And it's not tenable for those businesses. You know, we've heard Bartell, for instance, have a lot of issues with, can we even keep locations open in certain areas of Seattle because the theft is so rampant. And then you're paying for private security. And so you have all these losses like the Target in downtown Seattle. So not only is it, you know, doing the obvious, which it is fueling, first of all, people's drug habits, because what they're doing is they're stealing that stuff to sell it. So Third Avenue in Seattle is a perfect example of that, is they'll sell you. Somebody's tried to sell me vacuums on more than one occasion, which I've said on the podcast was hard to resist because they were nice vacuums and they wanted like $50, which I'm sure I could have talked them down to like $1. They're selling detergent pods, anything that they can sell. One time I was walking on Third Avenue and there was a pair of heels for sale, a pair I already owned, the exact same pair I already owned that was from Zara. Vazora downtown. So not only are these thefts fueling people's drug habits and just making the crisis even worse, because the more they can steal, the more they can sell, the more drugs they can use, it's hurting businesses. And in the case of Target in downtown Seattle, for instance, Target, if it disappears, creates this food desert. I mean, you can go, there's a lot of restaurants and stuff around, but Target is one of the only places down in that area that sells groceries. And so you're creating all these problems for people who live and work in these areas, and you're making it untenable for businesses to operate and to turn a profit. So as much as we want to laugh about the ice cream being behind lock and key on QFC or down at this Walgreens, this stuff is really serious, and it's time to reexamine how we cannot normalize this. We cannot normalize, you know, 5 years ago, the only thing they used to lock up was like the razors. Is that right, Darryl? Like the razors and the booze. Can you think of anything that used to be routinely locked up?
I feel like one of the first things to get hit was actually laundry detergent.
You know what else?
Huh.
Teeth whitener strips.
Oh, they lock those up?
Oh, they used to lock, because they're expensive, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be like more high value items.
Yeah, but just to have everything behind lock and key. That's, I mean, job security though, right?
I guess.
You know, I just have my own little personal shopper when I go into Walgreens.
Well, job security until it becomes so unprofitable that they close down and then everyone there loses their job. So this is nonsense. We cannot normalize this because, well, I haven't seen a location of Walgreens or QFC or Bartell in Seattle that has everything behind lock and key, like at that Walgreens in San Francisco. It is only a matter of time. Further evidence as to why the voters in Seattle really need to make sure that they're not electing the crazy activists this time around. You guys have a lot of power, and I hope you use it wisely. Okay, follow-up to a story we talked about yesterday. So Congresswoman Pamela Jayapal has been the subject of national news for the last 2 days because she was at an event. It was a panel discussion. There were some pro-Palestine demonstrators who were interrupting it. So she took it upon herself to stand up, try to calm the crowd down, and here's what she said.
I'll just leave. Maybe I should just walk off.
Guys, can I say something? Can I say something as somebody that's been in the streets and has participated in a lot of demonstrations? I think I want you to know that we have been fighting to make it clear that Israel is a racist state.
So she says that, and even her own party, I will say, spoke out against it. And one of my annoyances, because I saw Congresswoman Kim Schreier, who is a Democrat who serves the 8th Congressional District in Washington, she condemned the comments but didn't say Pramila Jayapal by name, didn't call out her colleague, her Washington congressional delegation colleague. The same with House leadership. They said Israel is not a racist state, but then they didn't mention Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal anywhere in there by name. But I'll give you guys, so, oh God. This is so predictable, right? Like, how is Pramila Jayapal, the chair of the House Progressive Caucus and an immigrant to this country, how is she going to try to get out of this one? So there's an article in the Seattle Times. She spoke to the Seattle Times. The headline, Pramila Jayapal says blowback from calling Israel a racist state reveals double standard. Does anybody care to guess what the double standard is? What card Pramila Jayapal is going to play to try to get out of this one? I guarantee every single person watching or listening knows exactly what she said. Here's the quote from Pramila Jayapal. It's not right to call out progressives, but then not recognize that most of us that get called out are women, black, brown, immigrant. You just cannot skip over that, Jayapal said in an interview with the Seattle Times, asserting a double standard is wielded against progressives. So maybe it's because the squad and the group of progressives that says things like this about Israel, they all happen to be women of color, but that's not our doing, that's the group that has sort of formed together to be anti-Israel, to say things like Israel is a racist state. And remember, Congresswoman, your own party spoke out against your words. Are you saying people like Hakeem Jeffries is racist? Or sexist? Are you saying people like Congresswoman Kim Schreier is sexist? These remarks that she gave were near universally condemned outside of that progressive bubble that feels that way about Israel. So she's taking the lazy way out, the cheap way out. She's using her identity to try to guilt people and gaslight people into not questioning what she says or does. On this show, that doesn't work. For people who have common sense, that doesn't work. You don't get to just say anything you want, do anything you want, and then when there's criticism for it, when there's backlash for it, you as a member of Congress say, oh, but I'm a woman. Oh, but I'm an immigrant. Oh, but I'm a woman of color. We can't let that work. And I'm actually shocked at the Seattle Times for giving her the bandwidth to use their platform to make that argument. And again, it wasn't just an argument that was buried deep in the Seattle Times article. It was the argument that made the headline of their story. Pramila Jayapal says blowback from calling Israel racist state reveals double standard. That was the crux of the Seattle Times story. And to me, that's the media giving weight to the argument that criticism of a sitting congresswoman in the United States saying Israel is a racist state is itself rooted in racism. Absolutely ridiculous. All right, coming up next, I told you guys this week, we're spending time trying to figure out how to get out of this long-term care disaster. So the long-term care tax started on July 1st. Yesterday on the show, we had on Senator John Braun, the House minority or the Senate minority leader, to talk about legislatively what could be done, what might be done. On the flip side of things, there's also an opportunity right now for every single voter in Washington state to sign their name to an initiative. Hopefully you're not intimidated and harassed out of doing it, but to sign your name to an initiative to make the long-term care tax optional. The man behind that initiative will join us coming up next. But first, I have been just singing the praises of First Mark Insurance. Mike and I are now members of the First Mark family after taking the First Mark challenge a few months ago. It was a really eye-opening experience for us. We went into it. We told them all about the insurance we currently have. We talked to them about our insurance needs. We knew we were really underinsured, which is kind of terrifying when you work really hard for everything you have. The fact that being underinsured, you're putting it at risk. And Dave Taylor, the CEO of First Mark, says that's actually pretty common with people who take the First Mark challenges. They realize they're underinsured, but then they're terrified thinking, oh, to get the right amount of insurance, I'm going to have to pay a bunch of money. Here he is.
So the risk is, if you get an auto accident and you don't have enough coverage, let me clarify, you get an auto accident that's your fault, and you don't have enough coverage, then they can come after you personally for any additional amounts over and above your coverage limit. And that means things like your retirement plan, or come after your equity in your home, or garnish your wages. So it's a big thing. And like with you and Mike, I just think most people haven't had someone take the time to explain it to them in terms they can understand, and show them the how inexpensive it is to actually get the correct coverage.
Yeah, I mean, no brainer. Mike and I got much more coverage, much better service for the same price. Why would we not have done that? And there's a lot of people who go to First Mark Insurance, take the First Mark Challenge, and they get great insurance for less money. I spoke to a woman the other day who's saving $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year, which ought to help offset the high cost of gasoline and the new cost of the long-term care tax, which we'll talk about coming up next. So again, it's a no-brainer. Just set aside an hour to take the First Mark Challenge. You'll speak to someone from First Mark. They'll walk you through the process. It's a really cool experience, and you could save money at the back end. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. They work for you. Okay, so yesterday we talked about, is the legislature, are our lawmakers going to be willing and have the political will to do anything in January to fix this long-term care tax debacle? You know, now that people are seeing that money come out of their paychecks, I think you're going to have some momentum to say, this thing doesn't make any sense. I don't want this program. I never asked for this program. And it's common sense to say, make it optional. If someone does not want this benefit from the government, they ought to have a right to opt out of it. And so there's a man named Brian Haywood. You've probably heard of him because he last year did a bunch of initiative efforts as well. And so he's putting his efforts behind six new initiatives right now. But in particular, there's one initiative that would be an initiative to the legislature and would say, hey, the people of Washington State want the long-term care tax to be optional. So I invited Brian Haywood in to talk about it. Brian Haywood, welcome back to Undivided.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Brandy.
So you're diving into more initiatives. Why do you do this to yourself?
That's a question I ask myself every morning.
Why do you do this to your pocketbook?
because if someone doesn't go and fight, everybody's pocketbook is going to get hit. And I've moved here from California because all this garbage was going on. And there was nothing. It got to a point in California where there was no way to push back. It just was too far gone. And I moved here. And it was just so beautiful in Washington. Oh, my goodness, right? It's just such a great place to live. And then it started happening. And so I don't want to move again, right? I want to stay here. And I don't want to change the state. I just want to bring it back to where it was. Like, just fix the stupid stuff that's been happening.
So. Yeah. Well, I love how we've talked about this on the show before, but I love how your escape from the craziness of California was like California's like ugly stepdaughter. You know, it's like, no, you could have done Texas or something, but that's your fault. Now here we are. So I want to talk first about long-term care.
Okay.
So this has been a disaster since the beginning. I think we all know that. And the real frustration for folks is the inability to opt out of it. You know, that window was so small. And it's like, well, gosh, if you're someone who knows, I'm not even going to use this. I'm going to move out of state. I already have plans to retire somewhere else. You're still seeing the money come out of your paycheck. So yesterday on the show, we talked about what the legislature might be able to do to right the ship a little bit.
Right.
But you are trying to give the people an opportunity to right the ship. How?
So there's a couple of ways to do initiatives. One is a legislative initiative to the people. And that's got a very short window to qualify, and then it goes immediately on the ballot that year. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that.
Okay.
The second is an initiative to the legislature. And so we have until the end of December to collect signatures, and then it goes to the legislature in January. So if there's enough pain or enough heat or enough excitement about something, the legislature could actually take this and sign it right away in January, and it becomes law.
So on the not sending it to the people, that's just because you've seen that that window of time, the number of signatures, it's really tough to do.
Too short and too expensive.
Okay.
But the benefit of doing it to the legislature is you get two bites at the apple. If the legislature ignores it and says, we don't like this, we don't have anything to do with it, or we're going to ignore what the people think, it automatically goes on the ballot next year.
Gotcha.
So we either get it to the legislature or we'll get it on the ballot and everyone will be able to vote for it in 2024.
And either way, I would say it's still about the people because you need enough signatures from people to tell the legislature, hey, this is for you. How many signatures do you need before December?
You need qualified signatures. You need about 324,000 and change. They suggest you gather around 400,000.
Yeah. So what's the initiative number and when and where can people start signing the thing?
So the number is 2124. It's opt out of the state-run long-term care coverage act. You can go to letsgowa.com, and there's no apostrophes, just letsgowa.com, and it'll have the initiative itself. So you can read the initiative. You can get comfortable that it's something you support. There's the summary, and then you can click through and actually read the law itself. And on the same page are locations where you can go and sign.
When it comes to public opinion on this issue, I mean, there's been polling done. If this were voted on by every voter in Washington today, it would be reversed.
It would fail miserably.
Right.
And I think that what has happened actually to me is sort of sneaky, right? They came out with the law. It was published. Everybody started hearing about it. Yeah. And there was a massive public backlash. And so they kicked it down the road 2 years mm-hmm. into a non-even year election year. So it's quiet. We won't say anything. And it sort of quietly took effect on July 1st. And there was the news was complicit with the secrecy. The legislature was not saying anything about it. It just sort of happened. And you're going to find out about it in either this week or in another couple of weeks when you get your paychecks.
It was. And I always believed, and I know there were issues that had to be fixed with it, but I always believed that the reason they gave in and pushed it down the road was because of the election year.
Yes.
They're like, we don't want that going into effect.
It was a negative.
And then I don't even know, it was so much like the media was intentionally complicit in keeping it silent before the payroll deductions began, but there was so much other crazy crap happening.
Fair enough,
so much competing attention. So just to be clear, and I think that you you said it, but let's just say it again. This would not reverse it. It would give you the option. It makes it optional.
Yes.
Now, what's controversial about that?
So.
I'm pro-choice. Are you pro-choice? People are going to want to know. So you're doing this, and I would also note, you're trying to hire, you've done initiatives before.
Yes.
Hard to do it with volunteers only.
Really hard.
So
but they're important that they...
You still need volunteers.
You do.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if there are people out there who are looking for a job, you're hiring...
I need 100 to 200 people. I'll hire them.
How much are you paying them?
$18 to $20 an hour.
So to go collect signatures.
That's right.
For something that'll make the state better.
And especially if you believe in this, it's an easy sell, right? You're not trying to sell something that you don't believe in. So, and I've got six initiatives in total. People can go online and look at them. But if they go, again, if they go to letsgowa.com.
Yeah.
Right there. Right now it's at the bottom of the front page, but we're just moving it up to the top. You can just click through right to where you can apply for a job.
But you mentioned there's other initiatives that are going on.
That's right.
And some of them are, you know, Nicole told me, she was like expressing concern the other day that we don't want to become the initiative people. You know,
we don't want to become like the Tim Imans.
You can't have all these events on. And I was like, well, if things wouldn't be so crazy, we wouldn't have to
go and
do this stuff. So
exactly
it's like,
right.
You know what? If I have to be the weird initiative lady, you know, like Tim, right. If you have to be the Tim Iman 2.0 to fix the state, fine. Nicole, I'm fine being the weird one. But you are simultaneously gathering signatures for, so when people go to sign this one,
yes,
they're going to see other ones
there's another five.
And I would argue that all of them, if you support this one, you'll probably support the other ones. But
yes.
For instance, the Pursuit Bill, can you talk about your initiative on that?
Yes. In fact, we were just talking, you know, we were doing Project 42 as well. I'm involved with that. And we had several groups that were representing police officers, asking them what do they need and what are the important things to them? And pursuit is still something very important to them. And what I was concerned about is there were two big bills in this last legislative session that were needing to be addressed. The Blake decision was one of them. They messed around with it enough that I don't think it's worth running an initiative to try to fix it.
And that's the drug use.
That's the drug use.
Drug possession.
The second one, though, is pursuit, and they messed around with it only a tiny bit. And the basic nature of what was done was, in the original law, it said, if an officer believes that a crime is being committed and there is public safety risk, they may pursue.
Yeah.
And then every city had its own training, and there were different regulations. So it wasn't uniform, but it was still, there was sort of this common sense basis. What the new law did is it said, it flipped it on its head, and it said only these four or five things will allow you to chase.
Yeah.
But the problem with that, number one, is that then the police officer has to go down a checklist. Can I chase? Does it meet this criteria? The legislature used the word dangerous or violent crime, something like that. It has to be a violent crime.
Yeah.
But we were talking with the police, one of these police organizations, and they said, the police could be standing there and someone is selling a young child and that doesn't qualify under the violence thing. So they couldn't pursue. If the person took off, they couldn't pursue.
Well, the issue That's is the crazy. Confusion.
Yes.
And like you said, in the moment, like if we, I hear Governor Inslee all the time touting the training of law enforcement in our state, how it has been so improved and our training is top notch. Well, then why are you not giving officers an opportunity to rely on that training to make a judgment call in the moment about, do I pursue this person? Is it in the best interest of public safety? And the polling is also on your side on this one.
Yeah,
so Future 42 did a poll, and they asked people about the pursuit bill. The majority of people who gave an answer to that poll said that they wanted to go back to the pre-2021 law.
And before I did any of these initiatives, I polled them all with my own money on my own poll.
Yeah.
And police pursuit was the highest overall. I did a poll in King, Snohomish, and Pierce, and it skewed Democrats. So this wasn't some sort of self-serving Republican echo chamber kind of thing. And overwhelmingly, like almost 89% of the people supported or saw as a high priority restoring police pursuit.
Because they got common sense. They just need to be given a chance to exercise it. We've got a little time left. Like you said, letsgowaw.com. Letsgowaw.com. They can look at the whole suite of initiatives that you're putting forth. Right. The other one I want to make sure to highlight, because we've talked about it on the show, gas prices are up. I don't know if you knew this, but Jay Inslee won't tell you this, but it is.
We're number one.
We're number one. It's like the only thing we're number one at. But it is obviously because of the carbon tax. So
yes.
Do you have an initiative to deal with that?
We do. We have a full-on repeal of the carbon tax credit system that was put in place. And I think that one of the things I think that people need to understand, we're trying to help educate this because it was done in a purposely deceptive way. It's just carbon tax. It's for the environment. And as soon as you say that, it sort of washes away all sins. But this was done in a way that the tax wouldn't be apparent in a direct way that you could calculate it directly. You had to have think tanks go in and figure out how this is impacting. And all of the think tanks were suggesting that the tax itself would increase gas prices by anywhere from sort of 40 cents to as much as a dollar. The zone was 40 to 50 cents. And I think it's spot on from what we've seen is it's right there.
Yeah, they were up by one penny.
Yeah.
The Washington Policy Center. It's like, oh, I wonder who's lying. And I tend to agree with you that if you have people who love, I think we all love the environment, right? We have different ways of going
Absolutely.
About how to take care of the environment and is it public or private sector. But I think if Jay Inslee had come out and said, you know what, this is going to increase gas prices, but that's what we want it to do.
Right.
We want fewer people to be guzzling gas. And I think it's the best thing to do for the environment. I would disagree with it still, but I would have much more respect for
it. Would have at least been an honest discussion, right? Instead of this, no, this is not going to cost you hardly anything, and it doesn't really matter. And
pennies. And then you don't let people plan. There are people who need to, like, can I plan a carpool? This is going to have an impact on my budget. But you don't give anybody an opportunity to plan, and you spring it on them. So I love that you have an initiative to repeal that thing. So these are all great. They're all common sense. Again, letsgowaw.com. Thanks for doing this with your own money. We sure do appreciate it. Somebody's got to do it.
My pleasure.
Brian Haywood, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Brandy.
And in the interest of full transparency, I should know that Brian Haywood is a funder for Future 42, of which I am an ambassador for, in an effort to give common sense a comeback in Washington State. Also, if you are wondering, well, gosh, some of those initiatives sound great, where do I sign them? I have a good opportunity for you. So Brian is going to be holding the Summer Freedom Fest at his private property, Willow Crest Stables. I have this, it's in Redmond. I have this on all my social media pages. And they're going to have, they've invited, you know, all the big, from both parties, by the way, political candidates. We know for sure Dave Reichert is going to be there. Sammy Byrd is going to be there. Raul Garcia is going to be there. KVI's John Carlson and I are going to be hosting the event. And all of those initiatives that Brian Haywood just mentioned are going to be there for you to sign. I should also note that we're going to debut our undivided swag at the Summer Freedom Fest. Are you excited about that, Daryl? I asked Daryl if he'd be a model for our swag.
I am. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, for sure the hats, because you kill the hat.
Thank you.
Game.
I look good in a hat.
So I'm not going to. Our swag is good, though.
It's good.
It's creative. It's good. You'll love it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a little booth selling our undivided swag. But yeah, Summer Freedom Fest, you can't come. I invited you, but you can't come.
I'm going to a wedding.
Going to a wedding. Okay, that's important. That's important. But yeah, look for the new swag rollout. And with Daryl as a model, I'm also going to make Nicole and Miranda probably model some things. Nobody wants to see me model anything. But Summer Freedom Fest, I'll have some more reminders about that forthcoming. All right, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, let's dip down to California for this one. But again, just like we talked about with the rampant retail theft happening, doesn't matter if it's California, if it's Oregon, if it's Washington State, there is a problem with it. And it's all in line with politics and people who are activists being put into positions of power that they should not be in. And down in Alameda County, California, which is the Oakland area, there is a DA there who is the epitome of woke gone wrong, of an activist, a progressive activist who should not have ever been put in a position to prosecute crimes. Because if you're someone who doesn't want to prosecute crimes, I would argue that that's probably not the office for you. But anyway, her name is Pamela Price. So there's a recall effort going on, which again, praise God that in some of these areas, voters have woken up and said, that wasn't the best idea. So let's recall her out of office. And one of the primary concerns is that she is not doing enough to hold criminals accountable. And the crime rates in Oakland are a reflection of that. I have had to play some unbelievable lines from an interview that a local reporter down there, Betty Yu, did with Pamela Price. She's sitting down with her to talk about all this controversy surrounding her. Here's part of the story.
Family members of victims are saying that the decisions you have made are unfair to them, that sentences that criminals have been given are excessively lenient, and that perpetrators are favored over victims. What's your response to that?
I feel definitely my heart goes out to the people who have lost loved ones in this community. So we at the district attorney's office are very, very committed to making sure that we're providing the best services. Some people are not able to actually appreciate the work that we do.
What'd you say to families, the victims? Some people are not able to appreciate the work that we do. The hard, hard work that we do. For the love of God, you wonder why this woman is being recalled. Okay, let's continue on with this story from, again, local reporter Betty Yu.
The work of Pamela Price has been focused on progressive reforms, including alternatives to incarceration and not charging juveniles as adults. Now official paperwork to launch a recall has been filed.
There are people who say that we are here because they don't feel safe.
I was elected because the people in this community didn't feel safe, unfortunately. We know that crime under my predecessor was, you know, pretty much exploding. The DA's role has really no impact on crime.
The hits just keep coming with this woman. The DA, the district attorney, has no impact on crime. Oh, Wow, I should learn something new every day. Of course, the district attorney, any prosecutor's role has an impact on crime. When you, as that reporter very articulately laid out for her, when you do not prosecute crime to the fullest extent of the law, when you give people a slap on the wrist, when violent criminals know, because you've shown them, that there is no real consequence for the crimes that they're committing, they're going to continue to commit those crimes time and time again. That is a fact. To say that the role of a district attorney has no impact on crime is not in line with reality. And this reporter, Betty Yu, she tweeted out the latest Oakland crime data. She tweeted, latest Oakland police crime data. Union says most of the criminals are repeat offenders, and they have not seen robbery numbers like these in a decade. Car theft up 49%, burglary up 39%, robbery up 22%. Again, most of them are repeat offenders because they're not being held accountable the first time around. Jail, incarceration, is it the answer for every criminal? No. But does the prospect of jail and incarceration have a way of dissuading people from committing crimes again? Yes. And anyone who says otherwise is an absolute lunatic who has no place in public office. Let's wrap up this story here.
Oakland police have recently warned residents about a surge in violence, including an uptick in home invasion robberies.
Do you feel safe living in Oakland?
Yes, I do. I live in East Oakland even, and I know a lot of people think, oh, that's terrible. I feel safe.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Betty, I don't think you asked about the achievements of the first 6 months.
No.
That is my next question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Less than halfway into our 15-minute interview, Price's PR person pointed me to ask about her accomplishments.
Yeah. So they agreed this interview with the reporter. Halfway, you get 15 minutes with her.
You didn't pat the DA on the back here.
Yeah. Could you get... She didn't even ask it in a roundabout way. No. I think you forgot to ask about the accomplishments of our first
we
6 months.
We agreed to this interview because you were going to ask to.
And I love
question.
That the reporter included that in the story. Mm-hmm. Absolutely absurd. I'll also note, this is one of my pet peeves where... So she asks her, do you feel safe in Oakland?
Yeah.
And she says, oh, of course. Oh, how convenient for right. you. And what'd she say? I live in East Oakland.
Yeah, like, I live in the worst part.
Yeah, no, nobody there thinks it's safe, but I do. So my work here is done.
It's very out of touch.
Oh,
I think
my gosh.
If you actually go into these neighborhoods and ask the people who live there, I mean, clearly they're recalling her. So
right.
It's just, yeah, and the people who are against prosecuting people most likely live nowhere near those areas. So it's just... unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Is that what we're doing?
That
we're
is, yeah. Wait, did we put this in unbelievable today? Yeah, so. It's an unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable.
Oh,
but it's true. But this is, you know, I cringe thinking about what would have happened if Seattle had elected Nicole Thomas Kennedy, the police abolitionist, to be the city attorney. I mean, Seattleites ended up, thank God, electing a Republican for the first time in forever because Nicole Thomas Kennedy was that unhinged. But I would point out she didn't lose by a lot. She didn't lose by as much as she should have lost by. So again, I'm just going to have frequent reminders from now until the primary that your ballots are in hand, Seattle voters, so please don't vote for crazy, because we certainly don't need someone that crazy in any position of authority in the city of Seattle, because we would be going backward. Okay, coming up next, there's a clip from Jesse Waters. You might have seen it on the internet by now, but I have so much to say about this. From personal experience, he invited his mom on the show live. Maybe did not go how he intended. But first, we've been talking about our friend Wes Jones, a great real estate agent in the area. If you're in the market to sell your home, check out sellwithwes.com. He and his team have an innovative marketing strategy to not only make sure that the most possible eyeballs get on your listing, but to make sure that your home is ready when it hits the market. Here's Wes Jones talking about his Listing Boost Concierge service.
So we're going to come in, number one, and we're going to inspect a home, do a pre-inspection. And we're going to find out all those little hidden bugs that, you know, a buyer may be concerned with. And if a seller wants to do some cosmetic updates, you know, whether it's flooring, whether it's lighting, countertops, even a kitchen, we're going to help guide them through that. So the Listing Boost Concierge service, what we can do is we can project manage those rehab projects. We have a list of contractors and preferred vendors that we like to work with and have a ton of experience with. And we'll take that off a seller's hands. We'll go ahead and run that project for them. And we even have some options where they can pay at closing out of their net proceeds.
So if that sounds like something you might be able to benefit from if you're in the market to sell your home, check out sellwithwest.com, sellwithwest.com, a better way to sell your home. All right, let's dip outside of Washington State, talk about some national news. So Jesse Watters has a show on Fox. And now, look, I'll be clear. I don't know if this was actually done live, if he knew what his mother was going to say, but he took a call from his mom, who he described as a Democrat. So I imagine he knows that she doesn't agree with him on every single thing. And I give him a lot of credit for playing this call on the air, because I'll talk about it from personal experience coming up afterwards. But I just thought this moment was cringeworthy, but also absolutely adorable.
We have a very special guest on the line, a Democrat, my mom. Mom, hello there, Mom. How have you enjoyed the show so far?
I have enjoyed the show. I want to say congratulations, Honey Bun. We are so proud of you and your accomplishments, and you've worked so hard. Now let's aim to have you keep your job. And to that end, I do have some suggestions.
Okay.
Do not tumble into any conspiracy rabbit holes. We do not want to lose you, and we want no lawsuits.
Okay.
Keeping, I have a list here. In keeping okay. with the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. We need you to be kind and respectful. Okay. You yourself mentioned that humble is a stretch, so I get that. Use your voice responsibly to promote conversation that maintains a narrative thread. There really has been enough Biden bashing, and the laptop is old. Perhaps you could suggest that your people take less interest, for example, in other people's bodies, and talk about that.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm proud of him for actually, like, playing it, knowing his mom was going to disagree with him.
Yeah.
That was adorable.
I feel like everyone felt like that was their mom.
Oh, my God, just the cringe. The inner cringe where she goes, I have a list. He's like, God. Okay. I mean, she's, like, openly bashing Fox on her son's Fox show. But this happened to me, albeit on a lesser scale. You know my sweet mom, Sandy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she comments sometimes on my fan page on Facebook.
I remember that.
And I don't know if she knows, like, that other people can see that, but I did this video once, like, that was really hard on Jay Inslee. I can't remember. I think it was maybe about the vaccine mandate and refusing to lift it after it made sense to lift it. And she was like, well, you know, why don't we just try cutting everyone a little bit of slack? He was probably doing the best that he could with the information that he had. So, like, shaming me in the comments. And I responded, I was like, Mom, why are you trolling my comments? Oh, Sandy.
And
so
then you blocked her.
I did not block her. But I think we all have that family member who disagrees with us.
Yeah.
But when you do what Jesse Watters does, when you do what I do, you kind of hope that family member just stays quiet, keeps it to themselves. But yeah, I had to play that clip. It was absolutely adorable.
So cute.
So cute. Okay. And I met your mom the other day. She was adorable.
Nice lady. Very nice lady.
Super
love your mom.
Nice. Okay. I've been talking about Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. I am gearing up for my bachelorette party on the beach in San Diego, and I'm feeling just great. I'm really glad I started the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan when I did. Down 36 pounds, almost back to my pre-COVID weight, just in time for my bachelorette party and in time for my wedding in September. I've been hearing from a lot of you who have found success on the program. If you've been thinking about it, I highly recommend scheduling a 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan. You can do everything virtually and just chat with him about what the program entails and whether the program is right for you. If it's not, he'll be honest with you. EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. And again, you can do this program from anywhere. You never have to step foot in an office if you don't want to. No prepackaged meals, no counting calories. Schedule that consultation, eastsideweightlossclinic.com. And if you start the program, let me know about it. Whether you have success or you don't, I want to hear how it goes for you. Okay, let's get to questions and comments from the live stream. So I asked you guys off the top of the show today whether you had any ideas for how we can improve the signature gathering process to make sure that there isn't intimidation and harassment. And we got some good ideas, Daryl. So Cheryl said, why not have a table for the signing of the initiative and another table that is against signing and explain your viewpoints instead of protesting? Less intimidating and allows for conversations. So you've got, like, you know, you let them set up a little table and you say, come here if you want.
Yeah.
Maybe a little messy. You'd have to have people who were very mature.
Right.
Wouldn't shout over each other.
And I feel like if you're already there in that environment, I think it's a good idea.
Yes.
And I think that Cheryl has a lot of faith in the American people.
Cheryl, she really thinks they could do that maturely. Two Ladies Midwest Adventures says, can we allow areas where we can request signature collection, then that area be protected for a short period of time, kind of like leasing a park for an event? I like that. And in theory, if you find a private entity, where, like I did, at a coffee shop or a brewery, and then they can ask people to leave if they're being disruptive. The issue we ran into is people being so close to the door where it's like, okay, is someone going to be willing to cross that threshold and not feel intimidated?
Yeah.
Which is kind of why, but it's the same idea sort of that I pitched earlier, which is make it like 50 feet.
Like a distance.
Make it like a half a football field, and you can sit over there and scream all you want. Mm-hmm. People will see you, but they would be more willing to cross whatever sort of line that you've established.
Yeah.
Matthew Cook says, I really don't understand protesting initiative signature gatherers. If I don't like the initiative proposed, I don't sign it. Protesting this is meant to intimidate and thwart the democratic process. And that's my thing, too, is like, all you're doing is saying, we don't want people to be able to vote on this.
Right.
Which, what are you so concerned about? If
That's fascism.
Democracy. Yeah, well, if you don't support it, you're saying that if I don't support it, no one should be able to support it. And the will of the people doesn't matter.
Right.
It's very strange.
It's strange.
Okay. We were talking earlier about, you know, all this stuff locked up at Walgreens and QFC and how ridiculous it's gotten. And I was saying, what do they used to lock up?
Oh, yeah, formula.
Reagan said formula was a big one, which is kind of sad. It's like formula, you know, you're trying to feed your kid maybe, or you're trying to sell it, but it's like, we got to lock it up.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's not yours to steal. Kyle said, by locking everything up in stores, all they have done is moved the crime threshold. It used to be that walking out the door with unpaid merch was the crime. Now it's breaking into the case. Art made a really good point. Locking up everything at the retail stores will drive the addicted to residential crime even more. Because if they cannot access that, it's not like they're just going to give up. This is a really, really good point. And I wonder if numbers would bear that out. You're going to go figure out, okay, what can I steal that's not behind a plate of glass?
That's true.
So,
if they're getting, saying their essentials, but what they need to fuel their drug habit through stealing from a big business versus the small guys.
Can't afford to lock everything up like that. I mean, I think at the Walgreens, some of those things are being stolen to sell.
Yeah,
some of it, like ice cream, they're eating that stuff.
Right.
Because it melts, right? They're not going to sell a melted pint of Ben and Jerry's, I don't think. Although melted ice cream is kind of good sometimes. You can, like, drink it like shake.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what they're selling.
Yeah.
So it's like they need to steal stuff. But you make a good point, like a convenience store.
Right.
That's less likely to have every single thing behind these probably really expensive safety measures.
Yeah.
So, or they're going to come into your house and steal out of your fridge.
Exactly.
Get that ice cream out of your freezer.
They need that ice cream.
Really good point, Art. Good one. I don't know. How does a Walgreens employee decide who they're going to sell things to? Sounds like someone will scream discrimination. That's a good point, too.
That's true.
Somebody's like, hey, I need to get out this razor. Is the Walgreens employee going to be like, not you, sir? No,
you look way too haggard. Yes. You don't need this razor.
Yeah, that is true. Discrimination. Kathy said, again, until they make drugs illegal and actually prosecute those who break the laws, nothing will change. I agree. Because That glass is not a solution to anything.
Yeah.
That glass is not preventing crime. It's not, well, maybe preventing them from stealing it in that moment, but it is not helping to address the underlying issues why someone is coming in and robbing you blind. Now, I'm not saying businesses shouldn't be able to protect their stuff. They absolutely should, but we need to be focused on, okay, like Kathy said, what's causing this? Drug abuse.
Drugs.
And that's causing most of the issues that we're having, frankly, the mental illness, the homelessness, crime. So, yeah, it's this constant. This is like the laziest kind of leadership, the laziest kind of politics.
Kind of hands
off. Well, it's hands off where it's like Band-Aids on problems and it's not actually. You don't Seattle, Lisa Herbold, the councilwoman who, thank God, she's not running again. Mm-hmm. But she basically wanted to legalize all misdemeanor crimes by giving a poverty defense to say, if it's a crime of poverty and you steal something, then you're not going to be prosecuted. And thank God that got stopped in its tracks. But that's the mindset that leads to some of this stuff. And it's not helpful for the criminals either.
No.
It's not helpful to
support. Doesn't do anyone a favor if they're just, they're dying out there.
They're dying. Exactly. Thousands. You're comfortable letting them die. Stupid. You're comfortable letting them steal stuff to fund the addiction that's killing them. That's not empathy. Mm-hmm. Okay, Daryl, good stuff today.
Thank you.
Good stuff yesterday.
All right.
We so enjoyed having you.
Thanks.
Before I got to tell you that, before I get to my closing sanity check.
I'm here
check.
For a good time, not a long time.
Well, you know, you're with us every day.
I am.
But not in body.
No, you're I go with through the wires.
Us. Usually it's a frantic phone call, like, why isn't something working? Help us, Daryl. And then it's like the world's easiest fix, and then we feel stupid, and then we hang up.
That's okay.
Loved having you. You did a great job.
Thank you.
If Nicole asks, I'm going to tell her that you were horrible.
Oh, did an awful job. Yeah. She can't go anywhere.
She can't go anywhere ever again. Okay, good stuff. All right. I'm a big Miranda Lambert fan, which is why a clip circulated on social media has caught my attention today. Let's discuss it because there's a point to be made in our closing sanity check. So Miranda Lambert was having a concert, and I love Miranda Lambert, although Mike has a crush on her. That's like his free hall pass. So I don't think I can love her that much, but I do love her music. I've seen her several times, and I will say she is someone who cares a lot about the performance that she's putting on for people. However, she has divided the internet. There are some people who say that she took things too far when she stopped a concert because she was angry that some concert goers sitting in the front row were taking selfies. So here is the clip that went viral.
Something about to fall apart. I'm gonna stop right here for a sec, Danny. I'm sorry. These girls are worried about their selfie and not listening to the song. It's pissing me off a little bit.
So when that clip went viral, again, it divided the internet because there were some people who were saying they paid to be there. If they want to take a selfie with their favorite singer in the shot behind them, then why are you creating such a scene about it? Now, as is often the case with these viral clips, there was much more to the story. In fact, there's this video. I'll just show it to you. And I don't know, it came from some TikToker. There's no audio on it. But basically, it showed the other angle where these women, they had been doing this for a while. They're front row. There's a group of them. They're standing up in the front row while everybody else is sitting down, using the flash on their camera, clearly distracting people. And the person says in this TikTok video that the rest of the fans were really happy that Miranda Lambert stopped the show in order to tell them or to call them out for what they were doing. So anyway, my point is not taking a side on this, although I tend to think that in some instances, stopping the show for that would have been unreasonable, but now knowing what I know about what was going on, I think it was just fine. But I will say, generally speaking, and Nicole will attest to this, I should have saved this for when Nicole was back, because she knows I always give her crap for taking too many pictures and not enjoying the moment. Don't let life pass you by because you're buried in your phone. That's the sanity check for today. If you're at a concert, I went to Adele in Vegas, waited a long time to see her, spent way too much money on the tickets, and I sat there and I enjoyed it. I cried during it. It was one of the best nights of my life. Did I take a couple pictures? Sure. But I wanted to make sure that I was living in the moment, taking time to enjoy the concert. And it extends well beyond concerts. Sometimes I'm sitting in my bed and I'm scrolling on Insta, scroll through dog photos, dog videos, laughing. And then I look over and there's my real life doggy sitting there wanting me to pet her. And I'm like, what are you doing, Brandy? What are you doing with your life? And I throw my phone down and I pet my dog. So whether you agree with Miranda Lambert or not, whether you think it was insane or totally sane for her to do what she did, there is a good lesson overall that we can learn. And it's just enjoy your life. Don't live your life through a screen on your phone. And that will bring you sanity, I promise. And that has been it for today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Nicole will be back on the show tomorrow. Daryl, thank you. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me. And you got to remember to pull those Navy Japan pics.
Oh, for the show tomorrow. I didn't show people the pics of young us. Okay, on the show tomorrow, I will.
On the show tomorrow, we're going to pull those. I hear you loud and clear, chat.
Daryl's going to remind me. Oh, bummer. People were asking for it on the chat.
They were asking for it.
Man,
they remembered.
I'm a failure. I'll do it tomorrow. All right. Thanks for being here. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. If you have not become a subscriber, please do so. Support our mission and our movement for $5 a month. We will see you back on the live show tomorrow at noon with those pictures.